For the rest of the family, we have some tasty tidbits to chew on and think about and meditate on before we finish our day. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 22 through 24 and 25. 22 through 25. These are really important scriptures for us as believers because not only do they challenge us, but they also keep us in remembrance of what Jesus has done. Verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." Well, we just had a wonderful communion service, and we celebrated that pure new heart that we have as believers. And it's a true heart. It's not like the heart of the old covenant where God said he would give us a new heart. Well, if the old one was any good, why did we need a new one? So we have a new heart now. Let us draw near. Draw near to each other, but draw nearer to him. You know, we're living in our generation now is experiencing some very tumultuous times around us, not only in our nation, but in this world. And now is not the time to start getting nervous, to start getting shaky. It's the time to press in. Draw near to the Lord. But he says, in full assurance of faith. That little phrase is really important. Are you sure your faith will work when tough times come your way? You should be. You can be. Unless you try to figure everything out in your head all on your own. Full assurance of faith. That means nothing lacking. You're going forth with confidence, not in us, but in him. In the faith that he's given us. Remember, he's given us all the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, that's what the blood of Jesus did, and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, I think of baptism, but it's also a work of the Holy Spirit when he made us new creations in Christ. We've been made new. And the new will never perish. Our earth suits will fade away. But the new you in the earth suit, the new spiritual you, the real you, the inner man that Paul talks about, is for eternity now. And then in verse 23, he says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." One of the times I was in India, I presented this verse to a Bible school. And I asked if they would find a farmer that had a good strong rope. And most did, because if they had a team of oxen or water buffalo, they had such a thing as a rope. Otherwise, most people didn't. And I did that demonstration here, but it wasn't as effective as it was there. And I had taken the rope and went down through the center aisle, and I asked everybody to come out to the middle and hold on to the rope. And I used the illustration of mountain climbers and how they hold to that rope like their life depends on it. Because, you know, in places they climb, their life does depend on it. And in India, when I presented that, you hold fast to your faith like that mountain climber holds fast to his rope, because your life can depend on it. You hold fast. That means you hold on with everything you got in you. Don't let loose of your faith. Don't let loose. Don't back off. And so unannounced, I snapped that rope really fast like that, and hands went flying off everywhere. But some of you were quite perceptive, and you held on. you're the ones that made it. The others, they fell off the cliff somewhere. That's what happens. If you don't hold fast to something, it doesn't take long for the enemy to get a foothold in your life and knock you off course. And some of the things that he dangles out there, they're not bad things. They just come between us and the Lord. And they woo us and draw us to go after those things. Well, it wasn't too many weeks ago. There's some people hiking up in the White Mountains from Boston. And one didn't make it. He fell 3,000 feet to his death. Mountain climbing illustrates this point, because everyone wants to reach the summit, but some mountains are easier to climb than others. I've actually hiked to the top of Mount Washington twice on a trail, stayed overnight, slept in the pouring rain in a wood hut. We weren't allowed to have any fire to heat up our can of SpaghettiOs, real nourishing. Oh gosh, yes, those are some interesting times. And I wasn't saved. We got to Tuckerman's Ravine, and there in the middle of July was 5 or 6 feet of snow still on the ground. And we had a wonderful snowball fight together in July. But then from that point on, it was totally above the tree line. And then there's just little bushes. And then it's grass. John, please a little. Thank you. That's going to be on the tape, and Tom is going to have a hard time cleaning that out. But he will. You get above everything to where there's just like grass, and then it's almost like a tundra where the ground stays frozen. And that's where that mountain gets really treacherous, because you've got to watch every footstep. We didn't climb with ropes because we stayed on trails, but some people want to be rather adventurous and go off, you know, and do their own thing. And they're the ones they usually send the ski patrol after, or whoever's there with a helicopter that can come in and get them. But it illustrates the point. We all want to reach the summit. Well, after being soaking wet in the rain that night in the thunderstorm, the summit, it was 38 degrees with a 40-mile-an-hour northwest wind blowing in there with wet clothes. And in order to get to the summit, we had to leave. There was a party of four of us. We left our campsite, and it took another 5 hours to reach the summit. So it took all morning. We left about 4:30 in the morning. The sun was already on the summit. But the navigating around boulders and rocks, and every place that you could step, it was you ran the risk of sliding. Remember those leaves that we hiked on Fall Mountain? How easy it would be to step on rocks with leaves over them and then just go sliding. Well, that mountain's like that, only there weren't any leaves because it was way above all the trees. But still, it was very risky. And walking and holding fast to our faith can be risky if we get careless, if we let our guard down. It illustrated that point, because there was a mountain in India that I always wanted to climb, and they wouldn't let me go there. Oh, there's cobras there. Well, probably only one. But the government in India does not allow you to climb those mountains. So to this day, after 13 times of going there and just longing to want to climb that mountain, I've not been allowed to do that yet. And I even brought hiking boots and everything one year, just thinking I could go up there. Not only are there cobras, but there's a few mountain lions. There's a tiger here and there. There are wild elephants. There's wild boar. So it's a different kind of thing. But in your faith, if you connect this, hold fast your profession of faith. A profession is an occupation, if you will. It's a lifestyle. And believers live by faith. That's our occupation, if you will. That's our lifestyle. We don't live by what we see. We live by faith in what God has already done. We live by faith in His Word. So hold fast. And profession is also something that you speak. What do you profess? What do you proclaim? So if you have a really good knowledge of the Word, you can profess more in line with the Word. Others, maybe not so much yet. But speak what you know, because you're speaking the word of life. And that's really important now. And today, all around us, as people refuse to believe that there's truth, that there is a truth, a pure truth, which is the word of God, learn the scriptures so that you can speak them over your life. You can speak them over your family, over the people that you love, the people that you care about, and the people that you don't care about. You didn't think you was going to get away with that now, did you? Mm-mm. Speaking words of life. And then it says, without wavering. Somebody quoted something from James this morning, chapter 1. And if you went a little bit further, you would come to the part of it where it says that that we're not to waver. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and so God doesn't know how to answer your prayer if you're double-minded. I always said, well, my sisters could get away with that because you're entitled to change your mind at least 25 times a day. But when a guy wants to change his mind, oh my God, that's terrible. You're supposed to make the right call every time, and that doesn't happen all the time either. But double-minded means you'll be unstable in all your ways. So hold fast your faith without wavering. Once you've prayed, once you've established a truth, you stand on it. And don't let circumstances, don't let your five physical senses talk you out of it. Because that's where your faith just took a hike, went to the mountaintop without you, and left you standing there floundering because you got sidetracked on something and you got looking off somewhere else. Once you make a profession of faith, once you've got the word in your spirit, and once you're standing on that, don't waver from it, no matter what you see, because at least you'll be in agreement with the one that counts the most. He wrote it. And you'll be in agreement with Him. For He is faithful that promised. Not one precious word of any of God's promises has ever failed, and they never will because they're perfect. We fail, but not Him. And then this one here, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I would like to believe that every time we come together, this is very much a part of what happens. Just coming in, huggy break times, prayer times together. After the service, sometimes people hang out and just visit. But to provoke one another means to encourage one another, to continue to do the good things that you do. There was a time when it was one person who sent all the cards out to everybody, whether it was birthdays or anniversaries or Christmas cards or holiday cards. One person was doing that. And then little by little by little, I love it now because this whole congregation, use guys. Yes, let's use that word. That's really good. That's a good word, really, for us that live up here. So many of you, you call each other, you write to each other, you text each other, you send cards to each other. You see, that's provoking one another. It's encouraging. It's letting the spirit man rise up above how you might feel about something and just be led by the Holy Spirit to do things like that. And that makes for a very strong body. If somebody came in here tried to make a big fuss. I bet there's at least three of us that could punch him out on the floor in 5 seconds or less, graphically speaking. But you don't know how tight you are until you know how tight you are as a body. And it's scriptures like these that encourage us to keep doing the good things. We've been talking about motivational gifts downstairs. We've been talking about ministry gifts downstairs, the different calls on people's lives, and how we encourage each other to walk in the gifts that God has given you. This is an opportunity every Sunday to put into practice these things. This is like an open house workshop. That's why we don't try to be like anybody else. We came with that vision to teach and to train up so that you find your gifts and you have absolute freedom to flow in them. There's no, where else can you come where only three of you can speak and the rest? We'll only allow three today. Yeah, dinner will be ready in 5 minutes, so only three of you get to speak today. You exercise freely what God has given you. And we encourage that greatly. And to walk in love. Walking in love sometimes can be greatly difficult because if we get our eyes off the lover of our souls, then it becomes more difficult to love others. You got to let, when you have a hard time with someone, to love them, you've got to let the lover of your soul love them through you. And there you'll never run out of love because it's an endless supply. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. I like to call those the evidence of God's indwelling presence. It's there. And love from that. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And we all know the some, so we don't have to bring that up. But there's only one other church in Chester open since COVID besides Renewed Life. And we're not really in Chester, we're in Rockingham by less than a tenth of a mile. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I think about my wood stove, and people who burn coal know the same thing. If you start a fire and you put one lump of coal in there, it's not going to do much. It's just going to sit there and be a lump of coal. And when it burns out rather quickly. But what if you throw a handful into the stove? What if you throw a shovelful into the stove? It makes a fire, and it burns longer, and it keeps things a lot warmer. When we assemble ourselves together, whether we're few, one weekend there were only 8 of us, and we couldn't get the pictures up on the screen, so we stood back there and we all lit the computer screen, but we're just 8 of us, and it doesn't matter. I'm only 3 miles away. I can walk if I need to, but I would never close this place as long as I'm here. We don't do that. And Sunday after Christmas, we'll be here. For the people that only come on Christmas and New Year's or Christmas and Easter, I'd like to be one of the places they could come. If that's their once a year place, it's Christmas, I'd like to make sure we're here, or some of us are here. I'd be here myself because that's just me. You will never find this place closed. Last night I weren't sure if we'd be all warm or not. But I would have been here, dressed in all my winter clothes. I have a whole set in case I need them. 5 o'clock, the power came back on finally, so I was able to warm the building up. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because each one of us is like one of those coals when we're all together. It's complete. And the fervency of the Spirit is so much more when you got someone to sit there and burn in the Lord with you. Another brother or sister or husbands and wives. That's really a nice picture. And another thing, as as a pastor over the years, I found that the people who isolate themselves and stay home for whatever reason, they say, well, I know I'm a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. No, you don't. But I've noticed something about the person, the change that I see. They become critical. They become self-centered. They become hard-hearted. They become nitpickers. They become fault finders. And they find no joy in their faith. If they have the way to get out and go, but they choose to stay home. And when you isolate yourself, you don't have anybody else. You don't have anybody to pray with. You don't have anybody to share the word with. Unless it's an extreme case, that's why this is such an encouragement. Because people who choose to opt out and just stay home, you really need to guard yourself about that. Because other things will surely enter in and try to take the place of that time. People cringe when, how long is your service? Oh, that's a prerequisite to whether I'm going to come or not. I say, well, on a good Sunday, 2 hours. Oh, my God. And they freak. Sometimes 2 hours isn't even enough with all the stuff that happens here every week. But people are what people are. It's not for me to judge. It's just an observation. It's an encouragement from the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit inspired this. So, as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that's even more important. We see the tumultuous times, and they're going to continue until the day the Lord returns. And if you study the scriptures about all of those things, you will see that you won't find any real peace anymore unless it's in Jesus. And you really need to guard your hearts to keep that. Don't. I know some of us are news hounds, and we got to know what's going on. But we don't have to know everything. We don't have to fix everything. We need to let God keep us fixed. Amen. So take these to heart. Hold fast your faith. Don't get careless. Drawing near, that's important. Keep a good relationship with the Lord and with each other. And don't get slack. You know, it isn't a law, but it's really nice to put it into practice. Because when we come together, where else can we sit together and share the word and share the hope of the gospel, share the promises of the Lord? You can watch your favorite TV, but you might have been out of success over that the last couple of days. So. But probably everything's working today, so you'll be all set. But anyway, just think on these things. And as we close, actually I should say we go to the next session, the next season. We like to pray together for those of you that want prayer. And then we have a nice, we call it a pot blessing fellowship dinner, because Christians don't live by luck. We live by the favor and blessings of God, so we don't ever call it a potluck dinner, in case you're wondering. You won't see that in our vocabulary. It's a pot blessing. We prepare food, we bring it, and it's a blessing to sit and break bread together. We broke the bread of the word, we break the word of food at the table, and it's a good time. So does anybody need prayer that we didn't pray earlier for? All good? That's a good testimony. So don't forget... Saturday night, candlelight service. Wednesday nights, we do this twice a year. We don't have the Wednesday night Bible studies, and the reason being is because it's right in the middle of Christmas. A lot of people got family, and you should be free not to question, oh, do I leave them home while I get down to the Bible study? I really feel like I need to go. No, you don't. I know you might think that's strange of me to say that, but no, you don't. If Jesus can't keep you for two Wednesdays, I don't know who you're serving. I put a lot of faith in families. I'm a firm believer in family as a unit. And this is the time of year when a lot of people do. And I just want you to be free about it and not feel like you have to come. You don't ever have to come. But these 2 weeks, just if you want to take a little break and spend it with family, please do. I encourage that. Let's close.